Right now it is time for the Berkshire Edge on air here at Robin Hood Radio. TheBerkshireEdge.com is the location of a site that you will find many, many, many stories updated constantly about goings-on in the South County region and adjacent areas as well. Not only news, but events that are going on and more. The two people that join us are the creators of this site. And that is Marcy and David, and we say good morning once again to both of them. Good morning. Here we are.
So we've had a busy week, lots of things happening.
You know, when I scan headlines every morning. I get up at around 3:30, and I scan headlines. And even though you're on with us once a week, I scan your site every day, like I scan and. I just shook my head when I saw the story about, the Great Barrington Select Board now being accused by members that they violated open meeting laws, and this all goes back to the Airbnb rulings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, at the annual town meeting in June, a new bylaw was passed that limited limited short-term rentals. I mean, it's not onerous. It allows people to rent their properties on a short-term basis, but it was intended to stop people from buying homes for the sole purpose of using them for short-term rentals. And it was intended also to stop people from, you know, to allow people to use their homes for like 180, you know, rent them for 180 nights, but not to have more than one in town, you know, more than one short-term rental, because we have no housing here and no rental housing for people who live here and want to come and work here. And of course, it was very controversial. And now, two people—one who is really a private citizen, but the other who is a realtor—have brought a complaint against the select board that they wrote this bylaw without allowing the public to be present. There is a rule that if you have a committee meeting, or if the board has a committee meeting, then the public has to be invited. And so these people are accusing the board of having had a committee meeting to draft the bylaw and not having invited the public to participate. And the town has, the town manager, has written a response that said it wasn't a committee meeting. A committee meeting requires at least three people.
And it has to be warned.
Pardon?
It has to be warned, a committee meeting.
Warned?
Warned. In other words, it has to be announced.
Announced.
Formally announced that there's a committee meeting that's going to be meeting.
Right.
In order to allow the public to come if they want. So.
Right, and the people who are complaining allege that there were two meetings on March 7th and March 23rd in which the select board requested that two of its members meet to revise the draft bylaw proposal and return the draft for a revision at a later meeting. The select board and the town says that two people do not constitute a committee meeting, that you have to have at least three. And the complainers are saying that since there were committee meetings and no public was invited, that the bylaw is invalid, and the vote to pass it on June 8th is also invalid. The town assistant town manager has written a response that says these were not committee meetings. These were just members of the board working together. And therefore, the bylaw was valid and the vote is valid. And the select board now had to vote whether to accept this interpretation by the assistant town manager and send it to the town attorney for for further opinion. And so there was a select board meeting in which to decide whether or not to accept the town manager's opinion, and it was very contentious. There are two board members who are, in opposition, according to our reporter, the arguments got to be very contentious and heated.
This is about the character of the town and whether, it's going to become a kind of like rental community. What the issue is.
I was reading the story and you pointed something very, very, which says it all in the story, and that is that it appears that something like this cropped up before and already has been rejected by the state, and it appears that that'll probably happen in this case as well.
Yeah. But...
That the bylaw will be rejected by the state, or that...
No. And they've already said, hey, no, nothing was done wrong.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Well, there are two people that are, two select board members who are...
On opposite sides
of the fence here. And so it's a very contentious issue because it's all about what kind of community we have, whether we're... it's owner occupied, or whether we're kind of like a rental, a rental community.
Right.
Well, it's interesting.
And the people who are opposed to it are mainly, people who either have, of course, or who are making money from short-term rentals, or who are realtors. There's a lot of money involved, and of course that's why there are opinions. But it was clearly a two-thirds majority the vote at the town meeting. I'm trying to remember what the exact vote was, but it was 207 to 111. So there are 207 in favor of the bylaw, 111 opposed. And, I think that we could safely say that the people who were opposed to it were out in force. The people who were not opposed to it probably, there may be more people who opposed it than there were votes against it people who, I suspect that the people... who came to the town meeting to vote against the bylaw had rounded up almost everybody that they could get, whereas, we only get a small percentage of the town showing up at town meeting, and I suspect that there are more people who favor this limitation than who showed up. So I think that our sense is that the support for this restriction is pretty widespread, because people can't afford to live here. People who've lived here all their lives can't afford to live here. I know my cleaning lady just bought a tiny house for which she and her husband are having to pay an astronomical price, because the price of housing has become so expensive, and in part because, as our reporter Terry Cowgill, Bill Shine wrote a series of articles on this short-term rental issue before the vote, and one of the things he said is that, homes have now become commodities.
Yeah.
Before, homes were homes.
Yeah.
But now they've become commodities. And, I mean, and that happened really, you know, around 2008 when, you know, when there was so much, I mean, when mortgage rates, or when short-term mortgages allowed people to buy houses just to flip them, just to make money on them, not to live in them. So, you know, we need homes for people to live in.
Well, it must be the same in Connecticut as well.
It is.
Oh, yes, it
is the same. It's, I bet it's a little more under control, though, in Connecticut, simply because so many of the homes have been purchased by people that just wanted to live there. they didn't want to turn them into B&Bs.
Yeah,
but
right.
They bought them to have second homes, and so there's very little homes on the market as it stands. Mm.
There are very few homes for, you know, first homes.
It's the same problem that's in Massachusetts, that's in New York, that's in Connecticut, if you want to live here, you really need to make a lot of money. You can't afford to buy. You just can't, and you can't find many rentals. They just don't open up. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, another story that has turned controversial, and that is the roundabout the intersection that once again people are complaining about.
Well, it's not so much that people are complaining as people are astonished This is that Mass DOT is investing the kind of resources it is in something that seems so unnecessary. I mean, they're turning an intersection into a roundabout at great expense.
Well, this is where Route 23, which goes east-west, intersects with Route 7, which goes north-south. It's coming into town.
It says you come into for people.
Here's an intersection that everybody is used to, the state highway department has said, well, we're going to improve upon something.
Well, you know, for those people that are wondering, it's where the battle of international restaurants take place. There's a pizza parlor on one side, and there's an Indian restaurant on the other
side.
That's
right.
And there's the police station.
And the police station is right there as well.
Right.
Just to keep order. When the various international forces come to blows, you know, but it's so interesting to see how an improvement. What the highway department says it's going to be an improvement is become a vast community controversy.
Right. So we have Bill Shine, who is a regular writer of ours, who I mentioned before because he wrote this very good series of articles on short-term rentals, but he's also a very funny guy, and so he is writing about short-term rentals as if he were writing in the distant future, and he's 105 years old and the last person alive who remembers the construction of the roundabout in 2022. And his great-grandchildren ask him why the roundabout was built. and so he responds. And it's very funny. I mean, there's no point in our trying to, you know, recreate it for you because it's there and can be easily read on the Edge. It's part of his Reason Gone Mad series, the history of Great Barrington's first roundabout. And it's very funny, and I recommend that people read it.
No, he's a very funny.
Yeah, so
he's a very funny guy.
You know, a professional writer for comedy shows. And, I mean, very funny, very bright, and very interesting and funny guy.
Yeah.
So this is Bill Shine, Reason Gone Mad.
All right.
That's a description of much of what's going on in the world, actually.
And leads right into our next story, which was, you know, the demonstrations that we've had in Great Barrington to protest the Supreme Court decision which overturned Roe v. Wade. We've had, as you can imagine, protests and letters and opinion pieces, and no one who has written to the Edge has been in favor of the decision. I'm sure that there are people in the community are, but we are not in favor, and we've reported on demonstrations, and we've had letters to the editor, and so there's not much more to say except that there has been strong reaction demonstrations in Great Barrington on Sunday and demonstrations in Pittsfield, really spontaneous. And there was also a small one on Friday night that we drove by that was spontaneously organized, because David got out and asked them who organized them, and a group of people came together at this corner in front of Town Hall, which is where protests usually take place in Great Barrington.
And it's where it's an historic site.
The first organized demonstration against British rule in the country, in the colonies.
What, in 1787 took place?
It took place here in Great Barrington, right, at the site where the town hall now stands.
Right.
So we have an illustrious history of protest here in Great Barrington.
What I've been telling people is that they have to remember this all came about because certain people didn't like Hillary Clinton, and they, not the ones that voted for Donald Trump, but the ones that sat on their hands and didn't vote at all, led to one of the keys to this ruling happening. And I tell people, protest, but don't stop with protesting.
Yes.
If you really believe that this has to come back, you have to talk to people in states, and you have to get people to elect people to state legislatures so the states themselves can change the rules.
Right.
And you have to really work and motivate, and then after you do that, you have to work on your senators, because that's the only way you're going to get as many states as you need. Connecticut already is setting up to handle an overload of people that want abortions, and they're also setting up
Massachusetts and New York.
Yeah, they're setting up laws which other with those states cannot sue people, cannot go after people. That's just the first step. People have to realize that it was 50 years it was in place, and it's going to take many, many years to take this ship, which has listed severely to the sinking side, to put it back into balance, and take your rage right now and make it a long-term project.
Yes, right.
Because that's what the Republican Party has done.
That is. It is. And the Times had a very good story and an analysis of Scalia, and everyone else has been working on this for, 20 years.
This has been a long-term plan of theirs. And you know what? They kept at it, and they kept at it, and they succeeded. And the other side can do the exact same thing.
Yes, it's just going to take a long time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's going to take a long time. Nothing happens overnight. And you know what? I do believe that people will channel the rage into long-term action. In the end, no matter how long it takes, prevail. But it is an issue that has people upset. But we have a lot of issues like that nowadays, it seems.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean,
it's one of those moments in history, where there was a lot of fundamental issues that are riling people up, and it's interesting.
And along with that, there's a lack of tolerance as well that goes with that. Well, let's go to your next story, because this is an interesting essay on President Trump.
Oh, yes, our essayist and writer
Mickey Friedman,
right, who writes very long and very well resourced stories, and he's. He works in the local coffee shop, and he spends all morning there writing stuff.
Yeah, we are the beneficiaries. Right.
But you can go in, and people do go in and talk to him. Everybody knows he's there. But he used to work for, what was the New York?
His father.
His father worked for a New York paper.
Anyway, he's written an interesting article about was it Representative Rusty Bowers from Arizona? Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's the Speaker of the Arizona House of Representatives, who was brought before the January 6th House Select Committee and was questioned by Adam Schiff, because apparently Rusty Bowers told Trump that the Arizona elections had been rigged. And Schiff is trying to ask Bowers if he, in fact, did tell Trump that, and Rusty Bowers, of course, is denying it. But on the other hand, apparently Trump did act based on what Bowers had told him. So it's a very interesting conversation about, you know, getting to the truth of this. And Mickey is, you know, praising the Republicans who did continue to, you know, be truthful, and condemning those who didn't. I mean, it's a complicated story, but it's worth reading.
All right, your next story, and that once again you have, maybe your bio or analysis of a local author?
Profile,
yeah.
Yeah, we do. One of our writers, Hannah Van Sickles, who herself is a good writer, really good writer, is talking about a book coach, Courtney Maum.
A horse coach.
Yeah, a horse coach.
Who's written a book.
Yes. Who's written a book about called The Year of the Horses. It's a memoir. And,
she is a book coach.
Yes, she is.
Right.
She's written a memoir about the Year of the Horses. This is fascinating to me, too, having been an old rodeo writer at one point. It's a fascinating interview.
Right.
I recommend it.
This is, I'm trying to find a quote to summarize the story, but this woman, Courtney Maum, is an author and a book coach. She's going to be at the Mount on Thursday, and she is, you know, she's celebrating the final installment of the Beyond the Writing of Fiction series at the Mount. And this woman, let me just see, she is a she writes about horses. Her book, latest book, is called The Year of the Horses. Now, I'm sorry that neither of us obviously has summarized this for you. But what Maum is writing about is that she's no longer trying to encourage women to go out and work and get rich, but she's encouraging people to really care about taking care of themselves and self-love. And she equates earning enough to be able to keep a horse and getting her husband to understand that it's really what she needs, that this is like a radical act of self-love, that she has found something that she loves that's making her life meaningful. And she's encouraging everybody, not just women, but, you know, she's talking to women, that you have to find something in your life that is meaningful, and it's not just making money. That she says she's over capitalism, that capitalism is not satisfying. It has its purpose, but it's not the end goal, and that you have to find a way of living that allows you to to make a living, but that making the living, the purpose of making a living, should be to enjoy life and find something that gives you joy.
All right, and we've got about 2 minutes left, so in 60 seconds, let's talk a little bit about what's going on at the Theater Barn in New Lebanon.
Right. By the way,
Agatha Christie,
which is David's great joy.
What?
Agatha Christie. And
well, no, I love mysteries. Yes.
Right.
Life is a mystery. Okay. Most of what goes on in Great Barrington and South County is a mystery.
But this is just one. I mean, this is a review of a play in the Theater Barn in New Lebanon, New York, which may be a little far for many of your listeners in Connecticut. But we have had, in the last couple of weeks, we have had a barrage of reviews of theater and music. I mean, there's been an enormous amount going on. I think, it's sort of, everybody has been so desperate over the last couple of years to finally get back together and enjoy theater and music together that we have just had so much theater and so much music, and we are lucky, and so much dance also. Jacob's Pillow is open, and PS 21 in Chatham is open, and if people are interested in cultural activities, then the Edge is the place to be, because we are reviewing. We've had two or three reviews a day,
and we have a calendar that lists
everything.
Yeah. And when you go to the calendar, you can. Go right to the link to the theater or the performing arts
you can sort
venue,
by,
and
yeah,
you can sort by
category,
and you can buy the tickets on our site. So.
All right, what we're talking about is Fiddler's 3 at
the Theater Barn in New Lebanon, New York.
There we go.
But as I said, I mean, if people are interested in local reviews, this is one of many that we've had, we have good reviewers. We have very good reviewers for dance and music and theater. So this is the place to come if you're interested to find out what's worth seeing. And unfortunately, there is a huge amount that's worth seeing.
Right.
So you can go out every night. It's like being in mid Manhattan.
Well, in five words, theberkshireedge.com with Dr. All right, guys. We'll speak to you next week. Have a happy fourth.
Have
Bye.
A good week.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
You bet. Bye bye.
TheBerkshireEdge.com on the web is where you can find them, and you can find them right here as we touch on just some of the stories they cover.